This is a re-recording after the fact because our equipment failed during the time. So we're re-recording it for after the fact. Our Holy Gospel is from Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse 9. And Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, and they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders has rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Within the gospel according to Luke, today's text is Monday or Tuesday of Holy Week. The journey that we have been reading from has ended. He's arrived at Jerusalem. Jesus has cleansed the temple, and he's taken up residence during the day, teaching in its precincts. And all of the people were hanging on his words. The chief priests and the scribes, the leadership of that temple, came out and demanded from Jesus, "By what authority do you do these things? By what authority do you declare a kingdom? By what authority do you make a division? By what authority do you confront us, the rightful offices of the people?" And he began to tell the people this parable. I want to bring in a couple of situations from our day that have been grist for me this week, thinking about how I was going to go about preaching today. The March for Life happens in January of each year. In front of a DC blizzard this year, there were still about 100,000 people from all over the United States. The previous year, an anniversary year, there had been almost 1 million. Over the last decade, the March for Life averaged about 300,000. You might not have heard of it, because if this pulpit doesn't say anything, you wouldn't hear it on the evening news or in the paper. A 500,000 peaceful people petitioning for change that the leadership doesn't like doesn't make news. But let's contrast that for now with, say, Occupy or Black Lives Matter. Maybe it comes from looking at the March for Life and over 40 years of grinding, but these groups are not content with assembly and petition. Their tactics have been takeover and shouting down, denying a platform because error has no rights. It's an assertion that they had authority, and whoever they were against, be that a governor or a legislature of a state, a mayor of New York, or just the business owners of Ferguson, Missouri, did not. And while this type of confrontation with authority got its start on the political left, the political right, in the form of Cliven Bundy and crew, has picked up on it. asserting rights over land and offices, a giant festivus of the airing of grievances. And this weekend in both St. Louis and Chicago, these assertions met. Protests that are not meant to be peaceful presents to goad your consciences, but to refuse you the right to speak or even earn a living. And a political movement whose leader openly broadcasts, "I wish they'd punch them in the face, I'll pay the legal bills." If we are thinking about authority and where it comes from, being able to discern actors and actions is necessary. The second story you won't find in the newspapers, but it also asks the question of authority. There's a Lutheran minister who was removed from his call for adultery. Traditionally, such an action as well as divorce would have disqualified one from ever holding the office. Not that personal forgiveness isn't available, but some actions can't be undone in this world. And those particular actions traditionally broke Paul's words that the elder be above reproach and the husband of one wife. This particular minister, though, within a year, got himself a job with a parachurch organization. And now, proclaiming that Lutheranism is radical grace, he's a figurehead of this organization and speaks to conferences, to large audiences. I won't lie, he's a good speaker. But the question remains, if he was going to abuse the office having a sexual relationship with a parishioner, what would he do now, not under any authority other than his own? Under what authority does he present himself as a teacher? And is he correct saying anyone asking such questions is denying grace and acting the role of the chief priests? Discerning legitimate authority and changes in that authority is something that we must do. So I want to highlight a couple of clear parts from today's parable. First, I want us to notice the arrangement that frames the parable. The farmers signed a rental agreement for the vineyard. All the owner of the vineyard is looking for is what is right and legal, and what the farmers agreed with once upon a time. The law still plays a role for the people. Second, notice that the servants and the son sent to collect and inspect don't demand with force what is rightfully theirs. Instead, they suffer. They bear the weight of their message. The corollary to that is that it is the farmers who are attempting to steal the vineyard. Instead of suffering for the right, they prosper for the wrong. Third, and this observation is a change from the Old Testament. In the vineyard parable from Isaiah, which this is built upon, when the crop comes up bad, the owner destroys the vineyard. In Jesus' parable, the vineyard remains. When the owner acts, this time he does not destroy the vineyard, but the tenants. The kingdom remains under new leadership that will bear fruit. I've kind of breezed over some of the more basic observations because they perceived that he had told this parable against them. The meaning in that first Holy Week is clear. By being unfruitful, the Jewish leadership was being replaced. Jesus' authority was the authority of the owner, and he was here to take the vineyard away. But what I'm interested in is an application to my troubles. How do we gauge proper authority? Or when and by what methods do we have the authority to challenge formal leadership? The first part of that answer, I think, is, are we emulating the Son and the servants? And by this, I mean, are we willing to pay the price? If our acts of challenging leadership find us with critical acclaim, a nice income, and more stuff, we probably don't have the authority we are claiming. In this world, the authority of God can expect the cross. Jesus was telling this parable knowing that the corrupt Jerusalem leadership was going to take him outside of the vineyard and kill him. And he did this willingly for us, so that the vineyard might be fruitful. Jesus' authority was confirmed by his fruitfulness. That barren tree would bear fruit. Then Jesus points them at the psalm. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. How does it become the cornerstone? Because the Father picks it and places it. The function of the stone is twofold. Everyone who falls on the stone will be shattered, while anyone who the stone falls upon it will crush. We either survey that cross and are shattered at the love of God, or in our pride we refuse it and are crushed by the sin that was placed upon it. We are broken of our sin and ready to be reshaped and placed on top of the cornerstone as living stones of the new temple, where the full weight of judgment presses us down. Christ, the cornerstone, wants to bear that load for us. The way of Christ in this world is the one of the cross. And his disciples will be living examples of this love. The vineyard will be fruitful. So I want to turn back to that question of authority, and specifically authority in regards to corrupt leadership. There are two situations that we might find ourselves in. We could be asserting authority, pressing our case that current leadership is corrupt and needs to change. The other situation is discerning someone else who is making assertions of such authority. The simplest case should be ours. If we're claiming a prophetic role against a corrupt leadership, we must be willing to bear the cross. If we're not, our claim is not true. It might be the claim itself. It might also be that we are just not the correct person. Maybe the claims are true, but someone else has that call. Or it isn't the hour. Either way, as disciples, we need to examine our motives in the light of the cross. The tougher cases are others. And even tougher, those where you end up sounding like the chief priests. By what authority do you do this? I think the parable gives us a few things to keep in mind. If the people calling out a corrupt leadership are either calling for violence or calling for actions for their direct profit, it's probably a bad cause. Shouting people down or taking land that isn't yours disqualifies the claim. The second thing I'd keep in mind is the length of time. The Son was the fourth messenger. God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, longing for the sinner to repent, even those in leadership. There's a big difference between being truly a corrupt leadership that has lost the favor of the Almighty and leadership that is simply of sinful man. And that, to me, might be the biggest insight. If God intends change, it will happen. He will make it plain. That stone falls and crushes. Jesus committed his soul, his case, to the Father. And the Father raised him up. The Father made him the cornerstone. When the authority is real, you'll know it. You'll know it by the fruitfulness of the cross, not some stage-managed PR. The vineyard remains. God will see to it. Amen.